I gotta tell you, there's a little, not a warning, but a little something I need to say about this message. I cannot preach this message just anywhere. I have the green light from the Lord. I have the release. He said, "This is, if there's a church that can hear this, it be this church." I think you are ready for this. Amen. Praise God. So let's pray over the word. Father, we thank you that your word is powerful. It changes things. The word is life. It is alive. And Lord God, no matter how we came in this morning, whatever our circumstances are, those circumstances are subject to change, and they will change according to the word that you will deliver to us today. I believe that your word will change the course of our lives. It will change us, and it will change this world. And we will accomplish what you have determined for your word to do. In Jesus' name, and everyone in agreement said, amen. Amen. You, in the video, I talked about the book that Charles Dickens wrote, The Tale of Two Cities. I'm going to talk to you about The Tale of Two Churches. Say The Tale of Two Tale. Churches. So in it, he says, these are the best of times and these are the worst of times. I believe that simultaneously, just like it was the case for the Church of Philadelphia and the Church of Laodicea, they both existed and functioned at the same time period, actually in the same culture, same area. It's all part of Turkey, where these seven churches of Revelation are at. You knew that, right? Okay. So, but they were very different one from another, right? Okay. I believe that right now, I believe that we can have the greatest churches that have ever been in the world, but then we also have the worst churches that I've ever seen. I mean, some churches, I cannot believe what they're doing, what they're preaching, okay? So, you know, we can't concentrate on that, on the bad, but we do have to take notice. Why is this church doing this? What happened here? So that we can, you know, hopefully correct ourselves. Amen? So, remember this, when this is the angel, the Lord speaking to the angel of these churches. Now, these are not angels, you know, like you picture with the wings and, you know, whatever. Not that kind. It's actually talking about the pastor or the leader of those particular churches. Amen? So, how many of you know people come in different shapes and sizes? Amen? Yes. Just like, you know, my friend, Pastor Henry, he's good looking. But we already settled this a long time ago. I'm better looking than he is. Okay, so we're different. We're both good looking, but, you know, we're still different. Amen? So when God speaks to the angel, the leader, it's not like everybody in the church is in the same at the same level or the same position. So when he talks to the angel or the pastor of the church of Philadelphia, it doesn't mean that everybody fits that profile. There's a variety of people. I mean, do you remember when you first came to church, when you first came to Jesus? Oh, my God. Sometimes we need to remember where we came from. We weren't the way we are today, hopefully. Amen? So people are at different levels, okay? So remember this. I believe with all of my heart that this is a Philadelphia church right here. Because I know this man. I know this man. I have a very high respect for him. You know why? I meet a lot of pastors. Probably I work with about an average of 50 pastors every year all over the world. But I am yet to have one. Every time I talk to this man, he's never satisfied with where he's at. He never says, I think I have arrived now. I think I've reached perfection. He's always looking to do better and to improve himself. That is a rare commodity. That's why I say, God is speaking to the angel of this church, this man, and it's a good thing. This is a Philadelphia church by virtue of you having a pastor that fits that profile. Amen? Now, same goes for the Laodicean church. I don't think that the whole church, that every individual in that church was backslidden or lukewarm. There may have been people that were grieving in the spirit because they said, I can't believe what happened to my church. We used to be hot, and look at where we are today. Come on. You know, we're all different.
We're all different.
So just because you're part of a Philadelphia church does not mean that everything is okay. So I want you to pay attention to some of the things that concern the church of Laodicea. If you say, wow, man, I think I can identify with that. That's exactly where I'm at. Although I'm part of a good church, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And then make the necessary corrections and arrangements. Amen? Is that good? Amen. Is that fair? Praise God. Hallelujah. So here's the church of Laodicea. The first thing that we notice, well, let's just read it. It says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know your works. Got to start right there. There is nothing that we can hide from God. I don't care how good of a actor we are. We may be able to keep it all together between 9 and 10:30 on Sunday morning, but God knows where we at all week long, 24/7. Amen? So he knows where we at. That you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Now, what can we say about that? If this bottle right here, it's kind of cold, but let's say it was boiling water, all right? I took it right out of the microwave, and it's bubbling. What do I have to do to make that water lukewarm? What's the process? Absolutely nothing. You just put it there, and eventually it will match the room temperature, right? The environment that we're in now, if we are not careful and watch our thermostat, we will eventually be just like that church of Laodicea. Okay? So this concerns all of us, including the guy that has the microphone clipped on him. Okay? We have to watch that. We cannot allow. What happened to the five foolish virgins? They were all ready, they were all prepared, they were all waiting for the bridegroom to come back, but they allowed their oil to go down. The temperature went down, and we know what happened. We don't want that to happen to us, do we? Amen. So, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. How many of you know that's not a good thing? That's like Jonah being, vomited by a whale. That's not good. Say that's not good. Because now listen to this, verse 17. Because you say, this is your assessment of who you are. You say, I'm rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This tells us that God does not necessarily see us like we see ourselves. And that's one of the dangers of being in ministry, is sometimes because Well, because you worked at it, you know, you get some a measure of success. Feel, man, I remember how bad. I remember the first messages, Pastor. I thank God that I hope that those cassettes were destroyed and never to be remembered again. Oh, my God. It was pitiful. Maybe yours were too. Okay. But anyway, but sometimes, you know, after you get professional and you get good at what you're doing and you get some success, you begin to rest and be confident in that, in your ability to do something. That's exactly why I like the way you are. Because you never settle for, well, okay, I think I've worked hard enough. Now I'm doing it. You know that there was a day I thought I had reached perfection? Yeah, I know. And I thought, man, I worked hard on myself. Maybe I finally reached perfection. Then I asked my wife, Josette. Boy, did she set me straight. Wow. She said, oh, don't you worry. Not by long. You got a lot of work to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. But these people were living an illusion. Now, there's a saying in the world that says, ignorance is bliss. Have you ever heard that? Well, that's the world. You know what the Word of God says? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Have you noticed that's not quite the same? You know, just not knowing who we are or where we're at is not a good thing. Not a good thing. Now, here's another thing that happened to this church. It says, so, you know, God give, this is not a condemning. I want you to see, this is not a condemning word to the, even to the Laodicean church. It's a like a medical diagnostic. Here's the x-ray. Here's a blood test. Here's the, you know, what's going on. But here's the prescription to get you fixed. It's not a condemnation, condemning word. It's a fixed word. Amen? So here's what he says, and while he says, pretty much explains in verse 19, as many as I love, not as many as I hate, he doesn't hate the Laodicean church, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Repent is not a bad word, contrary to what some stupid preachers are telling you. It's not a bad word. It's a good thing. Repentance is a good thing. Say it with me. Repentance is a good thing. Amen. Now, it says here, behold, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Yeah. I don't know, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I can figure this out. If somebody has to knock at the door, that means one thing to me, is that he's on the outside. The church of Laodicea somehow managed to put Jesus outside. There are some churches today, they have put the word outside. You know, give 10 minutes to the word, tell stories, tell jokes, and, you know, read the, you know, Reader's Digest or something. I don't know what they're doing in church, but anyway, and they basically, if you put the word out of your church, you've put Jesus out of the church. So he's outside knocking. He says, please let me in. I want to be back in here. Amen. So that there was a big problem. They needed to let Jesus come back in. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, and I also overcame, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in my throne. Now, here's the qualifier. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church and to anyone that fits that profile. If there's something... Are you going to get upset at your doctor when he tells you, you know what, if you don't do something about this, it's not going to be good. It's not going to end well. Are you going to get Are you going to storm out of the doctor's office and upset with him and say, I'll never come back here again? He's trying to save your life. He's trying to help you. Amen? We should not be offended when the Holy Spirit tells us the truth about ourselves. We should welcome it and do what is necessary. Amen? So that was the bad news. Here's the good news. The Philadelphia church. I like this. Now, this is right before that. There's a faithful church called the Philadelphia Church. That's not in Pennsylvania, by the way. These things says who is holy. Let's read in starting in verse 8. Same thing as it was said to the Laodicean church. I know your works. God knows when we're doing good, and he knows when we're doing bad. But he also knows what to do about it. See, I've set before you an open door. I believe that this is a prophetic word for this church. I see already a door of opportunity and a door of favor that's already open for this church body. It's not yet visible, but when you see the opening, you will know. You will know. There's things that you have not yet even considered, not even in your prayer closet, that will open up and you'll know immediately, wow, God did this. This is a door that I need to go through, even if it's something that you've never considered before. I believe this with all of my heart. So, I have opened for you a door that no man and no government can shut. You have but a little strength. You know how the world measures the success of a church? Well, by the same standards as the Laodicean church measured themselves. They said, hey, wait. We got the people, we got the money, our bills are paid, we're doing good. The world sees that. Listen, by the world standard, Jesus' ministry would have been a great failure. With 12 people and one of them was a traitor.
Come on.
God does not see things the same way we do. Amen. I mean, thank God for big churches, but I always want, when somebody says, oh, you know, I got 5,000 people in my church. The first question I will ask that pastor is, how did you get them? I know a church, and you know that church too, because you were connected somehow. We knew a man that ended up starting a church in Kiev, Ukraine, and he worked with somebody in Australia. He told me specifically, we had plenty of time on a fishing boat, you know. He told me that they spent weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks before that church really restarted under the new model. They went through a list of things that were potentially going to attract people in and that were going to keep them in, and then another list of things that could potentially offend people and keep them away or cause them to leave. The church was birthed with that motivation. It's called a market study.
Yeah.
The world does that all day long. They don't set up a McDonald's just because, well, you know, there's a lease that's that became available. No, they do it because they've done a market study and see how viable it is. They start that church. Listen, the whole worship element of that church was birthed out of that study. Okay. If that's the way you know, if you do things according to the world, don't expect any godly results.
Hey, amen.
If you serve mammon, you cannot serve God. It's mutually exclusive. It's one or the other. Amen? Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. So, you By the words that you have little strength. You have little strength. But remember what Paul said? He rejoiced because when God told him, when you're weak, that's when you're strong. Because that opens you up, makes you, puts you in a position where God can move on your behalf, and he will give you an equal amount of grace to offset that weakness, natural weakness that's there. God overcompensates, because he always does, so that you have more than enough. You're in the natural, you may be weak, but I'll tell you, in the Lord, oh my God, just measuring by the worship this morning, I mean, there are churches that they dream about this. They wish that somehow they could bring the people to that kind of atmosphere. And it ain't happening. It sure is happening here. You may be weak in numbers, but boy, I'll tell you, you are strong in the Lord. Joel says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because that's the truth. That's the truth. Ooh, praise God. I'm so glad to be here this morning. How about you? Ooh, hallelujah. So it says that, wow, I like this. Man. Oh. No, I have a few more minutes. I will make those, now listen to this, I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews. Today we would say there are people who say they're Christians, but I call them Sinos. You've never heard that? I made it up. You've heard of rhinos. Okay, R-I-N-O. This is Sinos. Those are Christian in name only. It says here that God will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. I tell you, not every church is like this one. Not every Christian that you know is like you. But I tell you, there'll come a day when people will be seeking the truth. And they will be looking for a church like that. Your problem is not going to be how we're going to fill this church. It's going to be where are we going to put the people that are coming in? Amen. Good problem to have. Good problem to have. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. Do you know there's an hour of trial coming? Financially, morally, this is not coming. We're in it right now. Amen. Do you remember when the children of Israel, before they were raptured out of Egypt, do you remember the setting that they were in? It's called Goshen. I tell you what, we are in a spiritual Goshen. If we are that Philadelphia church, we are in an environment that's similar to Goshen, where the plagues of Egypt did not come through. Even the flies. Have you ever tried to keep a fly from landing someplace? Don't you worry about inflation, about the economy, the price of gas. How can I say it? I don't give a rip. Because the God that I serve is Jehovah Jireh. He owns all the silver, not a part of it, all the silver and all the gold, and if he can keep the flies out of Goshen, he can sure keep me from the hour of trial that is coming. In French, the kids have a saying. They say, "Même pas peur." That means, I have no fear. No fear. Say it with me. I have no fear. The devil has no weapon that he may form against me. that will by any means prevail. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ooh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hold on to what you have. That's another word he tells that church. Okay, now what do you have? We need to occasionally take inventory of what we have. What do you have? What is the most precious thing that you own? It's not your car, it's not your house. What is the most precious thing that you have? No, it's your salvation. It's your relationship with the Lord. That is something that we need to preserve and just cherish so much that we will not allow anything to compromise it. What do you have? And how are you handling what you have? What about the Word of God? You've been in a church where the Word is being preached. You were telling me something, Pastor, about what you require your leadership to do is not just to read the Bible, not just study it, but know it by heart and pray over it and get a revelation of it. You need to do this. This is not just for leadership. This is for all of us. Know that word. Know where it came from, what it means to us, and then not allow anything to tamper with it. Never edit it, never compromise it, never take anything out, and never add anything to it. Amen? What about our fellowship? What about the brothers and sisters that you have prayed with, that you've worked with, that you fasted with, that you have been hanging around with? I tell you, you talk about a band of brothers. The relationship that I have now, like with you, Pastor Barclay, Pastor King, and some of my friends that we've been together for many, many years, those are relationships that God initiated. I did not look for them. They didn't look for Pastor Johnson. Can I give you a little secret? Pastor Johnson is not the easiest person to be a friend to. He'll go out of his way to drive you crazy, okay? But I don't have a choice in the matter, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that God put me together with him. So he can do and say whatever he wants. I don't give a rip, because he's my friend forever. Amen. But you have to recognize those things that God has given you, and then you preserve them, you cherish them. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, I need to finish with this. Remember when I said these are the worst of times and the best of times? I think these are the best of times for evangelism. You know, Jesus said, you know, he asked the question, why? It was kind of in a way of a question. He said, why do you keep on saying there's still 4 months to the harvest? He said, the harvest is ripe now. I have a sister that's 84 years old. She's the one that raised me. Believe me, I know my sister. We have witnessed to her, Josette and I, for years and years and years, and never had any response, well, except for a bad one. Then one time we met her at a McDonald's in France. And after saying hello, I hadn't seen her in 5 years. The first thing she said, after saying hello, she said, you need to find me a man. Okay. Maybe I changed profession without even realizing it. But I said, I can't do that. But I can do one thing. I can point you to a church, and maybe you'll find a man. She goes to a church that I put her up with. I called her from the States. I was back in the States by that time. I called her to find out how she liked it. She could hardly talk. She was elated. I said, what's happening? She said, I went there. I really went there to find a man. But I found Jesus. That girl, since then, this was last year. Since then, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She speaks in tongues. She talks to God all the time. She would witness to anything that moves. When I talk to her on the phone, she preaches to me. And I let her. I say, man, what a switch from who you were before. Yeah, come on, preach, bring it on. I tell you, this is a time where some of us have kind of given up on witnessing because we didn't get any result. We like Peter and his friends on the boat. They fished, professional fishermen, fished all night when the fish are really biting. Fished all night and caught nothing. That was pretty discouraging. And then Jesus says something really strange. He says, I want you to cast the net on the right side of the boat. And I always thought, what's the difference between the left side and the right side? If there ain't no fish on the left side, there ain't no fish on the right side. Okay? I don't think, really, that he's talking about the left side or the right side. It's not a political statement either. I believe he's talking about the wrong side and the right side. We have maybe gone fishing the wrong way. We need to learn again how to fish and have the right bait on the hook, have so much love on that hook that they can't even resist. I don't care if they're not hungry, they'll bite. Amen. But we need to cast the net again. It's time to cast the net again. Even if we have been discouraged by fishing and catching nothing, we need to go fishing again. There's too many people going to hell every day because we're not fishing them. Amen. Amen. But one thing for sure is that before you cast out the net, and cast it on the right side, make sure you're in the boat before you do. Because that is a dangerous position to be in. If you're out in the water and that net is filled with fish, you're going down. You are going down. So we're going to bow our heads right now. And I want to ask two things. Number one, if you feel that, well, number one, if you are not in the boat, if for some reason you're either backslidden or you've never given your heart to Jesus, make sure you take care of that today. Today is a day of salvation. Do not wait for another day or better opportunity. This is it. This is it. So with nobody looking around, if you're here this morning and you're either not in a place where you want to be with Jesus or you've never given your life to the Lord, I want to see your hand right now in Jesus' name. And be, you know, be bold about it. You know, if you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out. But if you're out, in Jesus' name, let the Lord touch your heart. Love on you. He's waiting you with open arms. I'll see your hand. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Now, second question I want to ask you. If you're here this morning and you identified with any of the problems the Laodiceans had, because I tell you, in this environment, because iniquity is all over, it's easy for the love, for our love level to go down. Amen. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I have to turn the TV off because I feel anger rising up inside of me, and I want to grab my AR-15 and do business. And you know, that's not Christian. That's not the right thing to do. Amen? But sometimes we allow these things to affect us. If you feel that you've been affected and somehow your love level is not where you want it to be, I want you to raise your hand as well. Hallelujah. Yes, I see your hand. There's more of us. More of us. Yes. Now, see that it's not a problem. It's not a problem as long as we don't stay there. As long as we're not satisfied with that condition. Amen? So we're all going to stand up right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to make this declaration. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I belong to you.
I belong to you.
I will not serve the devil.
I will not serve.
I will not allow,
the things of the world
to reduce my temperature.
To reduce my temperature.
I will never be lukewarm. I want to be hot for my Lord.
I want to be zealous for Him.
I want to win souls for Him.
Thank you for sending me
as a laborer into the harvest.
Give me the words.
Give me the love.
Give me the favor.
Give me those open doors.
So I can reach the lost for you.
I ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.